But that led him to wonder if it was the Zirrodin rather than Sigrana which had decided to torment him with the ghost of what had been taken from him. It was an awful conjecture which he tried to put aside as he concentrated on his footing on the bough's damp, mossy steps. An hour or more later, Greg reached a small cedar village nestled in the crook of a huge branch that sprouted from the side of an immense pillar tree. Lamps glimmered softly in the eternal twilight as one of the female elders, her facial fur streaked with silver, wordlessly showed him to a vacant hut. Once he was alone, he curled up on an Uvovo-sized cot, scarcely feeling the interwoven bark slats, as he slipped quickly into uneasy sleep. He woke to the sound of rain on the hut roof and rose with creaks in his joints and an aching neck. Despite the mild humidity, he shivered as he went out onto the branch and sat on a large projecting knot, just letting the fine droplets speckle his face. Greg felt rested and more relaxed than of late, but the sum total of all that had happened up to his arrival on Niviesta still hovered over his thoughts. He glanced at his watch. He had slept for nearly 7 hours, and for the colony down on Darien it was 5:20 in the afternoon. For a few moments, he was overcome by introspection, recycling events, the betrayal by Vashutkin, enslaved by Kuros's nanodust, then his translocation, first to the warp well chamber within Giant Shoulder, then up to the moon Niviesta, and the maddening worry over what had happened since, what Vashutkin was up to, whether Rory and Chell were still alive, and how he could deal with the responsibility he felt for having agreed to bring the Zirrodin here and for what happened to Catriona. He sighed, shook his head, then ran one hand over his face, smearing the raindrops, tasting them on his tongue, fresh and clean. Some light was filtering down from above, the faded tails of sunbeams that lent a glow to the mists ghosting slowly over the forest floor. That was when he heard the laughter, high and girlish, muffled laughter coming through the trees. Human female laughter. He got to his feet, suddenly tense, turning his head this way and that, trying to pinpoint where it was coming from. Below. It was coming from down on the forest floor. Swiftly, Greg retrieved his backpack from the hut and, by way of rope ladders and worn bark steps, he descended. For several hours he stumbled through the hazy gloom, slipping in decomposing leaf mould or tripping over concealed rocks. The poor light down here made it hard to make out details, but his hearing seemed to grow sensitive in the deadening hush. He was certain he could hear a voice, Cat's voice, muttering broken sentences. One moment it was clear enough for him to make out a few words, but the next moment faded and indistinct and coming from another direction. As time passed, he began to think that he was hearing more than one voice. Blurred medleys of sibilant echoes emanating from all sides. Tension gave way to a kind of distraught despair. The echoing whispers became interspersed with sighs, gasps, hummed snatches of song, and, heartbreakingly, stifled sobs. At first, Greg pursued the sounds as they came to him, lurching off through clinging wet undergrowth, his own voice growing hoarse from crying out Cat's name. Taking leave of his senses was how he would regard this experience in later, calmer hours, dislocated from reason by a paroxysm of grief and anger.